Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for all the things that you're doing in our lives, Lord. It's been an awesome experience, you know, this walk with you. Seeing a lot of wild stuff going on. But Lord, we know you're in control. We know, Father, that everything that happens is for a reason. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that tonight we're going to have an awesome time because you're going to be with us. You're leading the way, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that tonight there will be some things come out from you, Lord, and that the gifts would be in operation, and that there would be revelations in the Word, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for blessing each one of us tonight to share whatever it is that you put on our hearts to share, Lord. And we thank you so much for it, Lord. We thank you for your protection upon us at all times. And we praise you, Father, for all you're doing in your bride, your people, all across this country and around the world, Lord. We ask for your protection upon all your chosen around the world, Lord. It's beginning in some places, it's beginning to be quite dangerous. But it's not going to be dangerous for those that are wrapped up in your love, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight in this fellowship of like-minded believers. And Lord, let the love flow in our hearts for each other. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's see here. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah. Hey, Dee. Anybody got a testimony? Okay, Joe, Britt.
Morning, Michael. I just want to find out, I need some, how do I explain it? I need some wisdom from the Lord to explain myself better in English. I'm mostly thinking in Afrikaans, but it took a little bit of time to explain it. I need some wisdom from, to explain myself better in English.
Okay. Well, Father, you hear Joe's prayer, and we thank you, Father, that you're going to give him lots of wisdom how to communicate your word in English, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to improve daily in everything, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that, you know, Father, even when I first got on here, I couldn't understand the word Joe was saying. Now I can understand him. I don't have to have Nora talk for him. Thank you, Lord, that I can understand him now. Actually, quite good. And I thank you for more, Lord, more communication skills, English communication skills for Joe. And just bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Everybody believe that?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we pray for everybody to have better communication skills, regardless of where they're from or what they're saying. Lord God, just make plain what they want to say. And just bless us as well, in Jesus' name.
Well, I know y'all ain't got no problems listening, understanding the way I talk. There ain't no way y'all have no problems there now. All right, let's see here, Tim. Go for it, brother.
We got a praise report. Brother of ours went to be with the Lord yesterday, and he was a work in progress up until the last probably 6 months of his life. When I first met him, he, was an atheist at best. Not a believer at all, and through God through me, you know, tried to make some inroads to him, and a couple other brothers that I used to work with. We were all, after his passing, been talking, and they're all quite confident that he knew the Lord, knew that Jesus was a savior, and that he went to be with the Lord yesterday. And it was kind of like the worker that got hired in the 11th hour. They got paid the same as the one that had been there all day. We're just very grateful that John came to know the Lord and believe in him, and was saved through his grace. And, so I'm praising God for that.
Right on time, God, isn't he? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that brother. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Sue, go ahead.
Okay, I've been standing on the Lord's promise for my eyes, and I've been driving without glasses, and the enemy's trying to attack me. I mean, he's trying to, but I keep putting him under, because I've gotten floaters, and I come against it, and they go, and then all of a sudden my eyes will get hazy, and I'll come against it, and it goes, and today, this morning, when I woke up, I could see better than I did before. I just noticed a difference. The manifestation is coming in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. No, it's already here. It was 2,000 years ago. Praise God. That's great, Sue. That's great, Sue. Hey, could you give me a schedule when you're going to be out on the road? Just asking. No, I believe you, sister. I believe you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you.
Pray for me then.
I will. I'll pray for you. Lord, we're just thinking that Sue's eyes are even better right now than they was a while ago.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, Lord, that they are manifesting even as we speak. Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's what you have to do, Sue. You just have to hang in there, girl.
Yep, I am.
Just keep on fighting. It works.
Yep. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? You know, one thing I do want to mention in this battle that we're in, don't put yourself under the law, you know, just because things are not happening as quickly as you think they ought to, you know. Don't put yourself under the law about healings or whatever that you're waiting on. If you don't have the faith, you know, keep praying and God will give it to you. And things will work out. Praise God. It's just a matter of enduring in your faith to the end. And getting to the point to where you can believe God for those things, you know. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray just a little bit. I noticed that they have taken InfoWars completely off of all the mainstream social media things that they have, and I don't know how they're getting some stuff out, but not like they were before. Just y'all just believe with me if you would. Father, I thank you that you already got the works in motion to bring these tech giants to law. Lord, they are a monopoly, and they are doing treasonous work. And Lord, I thank you that the Red Sea is going to flow all over them. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to right this wrong quickly. They've done it for one reason, Lord, and as you know, they're trying to interrupt the flow of information for the midterm elections. and to take the boat away from who you've got it designed for. So I believe, Lord, that you're going to fix this in some way, form, or fashion, Lord, ever how you see fit. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring these treasonous people to justice. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Anybody else got something they'd like? Yeah, Joe, go ahead. JD, I'm going to call you JD. Okay, is that okay?
Hey, it works for me. Works for me. Okay. It's simple and perfect. Yeah. I got a praise report, and I could, you know, if y'all want to agree with me, I got a couple coworkers, and, well, I got a former coworker at one of my last jobs. They found him dead in his driveway Monday morning. You know, let's pray about that. But now, first of all, you know, that fest was a success for me. You know, my heart has been redirected. I really feel it. You know, I sense that I have a renewed focus, you know, on the Lord, a stronger focus. I guess, it seems like it's kind of been tuned in. You know, there for a while, I thought it wasn't really going to be. And I knew that was the end of me and whatever. I never really fasted that long. But it was a real success. And like last Thursday, I got really good deliverance. I no longer have that desire at work to kind of work against people and to be caught up in all that factious nonsense and all that stuff. So, I definitely praise the Lord for that. It's, it's a lot easier to, or I mean, a lot less tormenting, you know, and tempting in that area to just get caught up in little conversations and different things like that. So, I'm definitely thankful that, the Lord delivered me finally, manifested in that area, this past week, and just, renewed focus most of all, so I'm definitely thankful for that. But I received word this morning. I was looking on Facebook, and a former coworker of mine was they don't know any major details, they suspect it was a gunshot. He was found dead in his driveway the next town over from where I am, about 7:30 in the morning. I guess his girlfriend called 911, and yeah, they don't know any details. They don't know what the cause of it is. It's under investigation. And I'd like to pray about that. Or just, everyone agree with me that they'd give the police wisdom and catch the person who did this. But this would lead the family most of all, and others, to salvation. This will be just one step closer for many to salvation. We believe. Whenever it comes, doesn't matter. It could come instantly or, during this time of revival coming. But, I've got other coworkers who have needs. I think that with this recent deliverance, I kind of getting back to just talking to people, reaching out to people. I mean, for so long, it was so hard to, I felt just kind of wanted to stay away from people. But now I feel more drawn to just talk to people and even reach out. And I've gave – one coworker before, he's always asked me, he said, "You seem different, Joe." Or, he even said so this morning. He said, "There's something different about you." And I said, "I give all credit to God. I don't take any credit for the way I feel." And he's noticed a big change. Just I'm a lot more relaxed, a lot calmer than what I used to be. And I just, I told him, God gave me that opportunity. And I finally took it, because before I would, I used to be too afraid, or I'm thinking, well, they might reject me if I talk about my faith. But I just said calmly, "No, yeah. I give all credit to God. I don't take any credit for anything that's happened to me." So, yeah, I'm going to pray here and just, agree with me. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. I thank you for we as your children can come together and just bring our petitions, Lord, can bring, our requests to you and know, way ahead of time that you will answer them. We thank you for that assurance, Lord. We thank you for that confidence that whatever we ask, whatever we agree on, you will answer. In your timing, of course, but we know that you will answer. Lord, we thank you for that boldness that you've given each and every one of us. And I just lived up Mikey, was his name, Lord. The whole situation there. What exactly transpired. And we just ask that, Father, you would give every police officer, every individual investigating this murder, is what it seems like, Lord, or whatever it is, we don't know, we don't have the details, but Lord, exactly what happened, and we pray you'd give them wisdom and discernment, you'd give them just such a focus, Lord, to, you know, know where to search, know how to search, you know, to get to the bottom of what happened here. You know, a dead 37-year-old man, you know, found dead in his driveway yesterday morning. Lord, that's all we know. You know, we just ask that you would give those investigating this clear discernment, understanding, Lord, wisdom on how to go about it. We pray for the family, pray for comfort, Lord God, that you would comfort those, you know, in their great loss here. You know, it just, I think for me, it was kind of a understanding that, you know, we're not guaranteed every day. Lord, when you choose, you know, to take people out of this earth, you know, it doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't matter. You know, Lord, it's ultimately up to you. I have realized, you know, more and more throughout the last so many years. But I think this was a clear cut. It doesn't matter how old you are anymore. You know, when your time is up, your time is up. And Lord, whatever the case, you know, we ask for comfort for the family. And Lord God, most of all, salvation would come from this. That through this tragedy and through this, just a, you know, loss, great, great loss, that you would begin to turn the family's hearts, Lord. You begin to turn their minds, Lord, you know, towards finding out about why are we here. You know, finding out about what's the meaning of life, what's the purpose. You know, God, do you really care? You know, because you allowed this family member to depart from this world. So Lord, you know, I pray that these questions would the family, friends, you know, this gentleman's girlfriend, or just, you know, family in general, begin to seek these things out, Lord God. Draw them. Holy Spirit, draw them to the Son. Draw them to Jesus and help them to realize that through all of this, he's the only one that can, you know, give them total peace about this loss, can comfort them in ways that anything else cannot. So Lord, we ask this for Mikey's family. You know, we ask this for all the friends closest to him and to the family, that Lord, there'd be great comfort and peace, you know, just no matter what happened to Mikey, you know, Lord, wherever he is. And we ask that, you know, we ask this, and I just want to reach out, you know, and lift up my coworkers to you, Lord God, you know, those who I've conversed with lately and who I've conversed with in the past, Lord. Thank you for just giving me a heart, you know, and a desire to reach out to them. You know, I see it's back in my life. I thank you for that, Lord. You've delivered me from the strongholds and the demons that kept me from really caring about people, from kept me from reaching out. And I pray that you would just continue to put that love in my heart for them, and you know, just that desire and just that, you know, to reach out to them daily and to just share my faith. Give me many opportunities, Lord, to just reach out to them. I just pray that, Lord, you know, they would be one step closer to salvation, one step closer to knowing Jesus, you know, like they've never known him before. Or, I mean, beginning to finally know him, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're going to do in that area ahead of time. We thank you, Lord, that you're in total control of everything there at work. It seems like, you know, so many complaints I hear and so many times I just listen to people, you know, they're just so worried about what's going to happen. They're so worried about, you know, the way the company's going and all that. But Lord, you help them to just be at ease and think, hey, you know, I can look to God. I can rest on him, or I can just have confidence that he's in total control. You know, I thank you. You've given me that confidence, Lord, and you continue to reassure me when I doubt or if the enemy attacks me. But I pray, Lord, that you would do the same for each and every one of them, that they would not fret and they would not decide to take things into their own hands. You know, I see a lot of that. When you don't believe and you doubt, you know, it's easier to want to take things into your own hands because you just don't think that God's in control. But Lord, I pray that that would be a reality in their minds and their heart. But most of all, that Father God, your Son Jesus, the work 2,000 some years ago, Lord Jesus, that you endured, you know, upon the cross, and just the truth behind it and the meaning would become a reality in their lives, Lord. They would realize they're sinners. They would realize there's no hope outside of you, Lord Jesus, that they can be saved. I pray that you'd begin to put that desire in their hearts, Lord, to you know, as well, to ask themselves, okay, what does this mean? I look at Joe and he's got more peace. He's a lot more calm compared to what he used to be. Things don't bother him like they used to be. Lord, what is that? What does he have that I don't have? You know, what is it about this God he tells me about that is so special? Lord God, help them to, you know, just draw them, Lord. Help them to seek out these answers. Help them to be honest with themselves, Lord. Because it's so easy to not be honest with yourself when you're hurting and you're dealing with things. But help them to just, you know, seek these things out, but to be honest. And if they do realize they're a sinner, Lord, and they're in need of you, Jesus, that they would be honest with themselves. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for everything you've done so far in my life. And I thank you for what you've done in the lives of those around me right now, Lord. And continue your work in us, Lord, and see it through to the end. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for answering his prayer.
Amen.
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 All right. Anyone else? How about a testimony? All right. What about a comment on something that's happened in your life? Yeah.
Well, I got a couple of weeks off here from work, which I need. I'm going to try to get filled back up with my walk and the Lord and everything else. I just feel like it's been pushed aside lately from so much work. But that's what I'm all about. My next couple weeks, I just want to get back into the Spirit, get back into the Lord, get back into the Word, just spend time, you know, flourishing myself with the kingdom. That's what I want success. I want to see and feel the Lord again in my life. I feel like I went through all of it. That's what I'm all about. That's my testimony. That's my testimony.
Amen. So, well, just bring your long-legged self down here, brother.
I don't want overload, you know.
Okay.
No, I'd love to. One of these days I'll come down there again. I don't think I'm going to be able to bring my wife. I'm going to do it. I have to come by myself. I'll get fully immersed there that way better.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be fine. Let's see how you want to do it. All right. Lord, we just thank you that during this next 2 weeks that you fill him up with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you give him revelations, dreams, and visions, and put it in his heart to pray in tongues a lot. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I did notice something in the news that there's over 200 newspapers that are out go after Trump, I guess, you know, whatever they're saying. I guess they're all mad about him saying that the news is the enemy of the state, of the people. When he says rightly so, when he makes these sound bites, he's like, people are saying, yeah, I agree. And you get the media or the left, they're so blind to their bias and their just left-leaning status, they can't receive anything that's contrary to their purpose and drive and their idea of the way things should be going. So that's the whole idea about the giant techies cutting all the conservative voice out. They're trying to squash any voice that's contrary to what they have to say. And that's definitely anything but a democracy at that point. So
I believe God's going to bring that down. I believe God's going to bring that down. He's going to shut them up.
I'm praying for it. I'm hoping that's going to be the Red Sea we're seeing as part of it.
Yeah. Amen. I believe so. All right. Anyone else? How many of you know God answers our prayer? I ain't talking about just one of them. All of them, boy. I'm talking about every prayer that you pray that's in the will of God, he answers. That's Debbie. She lets. Is that right? Is that not right, Deborah? That's right. I'm going to answer for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He answers our prayers. Has anybody got a good scripture they want to go over tonight? Yeah, Tracy, go ahead.
Hey, Michael. Hey, guys. You can always count on me for something weird. So, I don't know where these questions come from, brother, but it's funny. Do animals go to heaven? Okay. And, yeah, I'll just leave it right there. I won't even put my two cents in. What do you guys think? Do animals go to heaven?
All right. There it is. Do animals go to heaven? Good animals go to heaven. Bad animals go to hell. That's all I can say.
You're silly.
Depends upon their fruit, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Now, has anybody got some word on that? Go ahead, Andrew.
Are animals under the curse? Who sinned here? And if he knows when a bird dies, I think somewhere in the Gospels it mentions about a sparrow. And he feeds all the sparrows there and stuff. So I believe they do. I don't know what they appear up there in heaven as, but that's a life force there, and it's got a spirit in it and everything. So why not?
Amen. How many of you have seen good dogs and bad dogs? I have. I've seen dogs that kill. Go ahead, Tracy.
Oh, I was going to say that was about the exact answer I gave, Andrew gave. You know, I just said, are they under the sin code? You know, animals are sinless. But, you know, believe it or not, this conversation went everywhere. Bible verses, and it was kind of fun, but, you know, it's different. It's weird. I believe that the Lord's going to, if you want your animal in heaven to know your animal, I believe the Lord can even recreate it if that's the if that's what's in question, so. I just want to see what you guys thought. Ecclesiastes 3 was thrown up. There's another few verses in Romans that people were using. And, you know, one guy was adamant, no, there's no animals in heaven. So, it was fun. It was different, you know.
Amen. Anybody else?
I know by some of the testimonies that there are animals in heaven. I mean, there are what's the one guy? He died in the van. Something went through his head or something.
Henry Gruber.
Yeah, Henry Gruber.
Henry Gruber, yeah.
He saw fish there inside of a pond. He picked one up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very comfortable being out of the water. But The pets idea, I don't know. I just know there are animals there. I can't speak beyond that. If the Bible has said something about your pets going to heaven with you, I'll agree with that. I'm not saying that's not true. I just know there are animals in heaven.
Well, it talks about horses in heaven.
Absolutely. You've got animals in heaven. There are animals there. I have, there's no doubt.
Like, there is a white horse there for sure.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody else gets to walk.
Anybody else want to? Go ahead on that.
Tracy, you got some Bible verses on that?
What about all the animals that are martyred after on the highway? I'm just asking.
So silly. The one that was mentioned was Ecclesiastes 3. So I read that this morning with my son where it talks about beast, but you know, I don't know. See what you guys think. And that to me, you know, the same things that I see, you know, we were saying, well, there's horses. This is a group about 15 people. We were just talking about it. And, you know, we know that there's horses in heaven, you know, Jesus comes back and all the armies. So there's at least, you know, one horse per person there. But, you know, still, will your pet be in heaven? We're just like, oh, gosh.
You mean like household salvation?
Yeah, that's good. Household salvation. Yeah, does that include your goldfish?
Well, in the Word of God, the only animal mentioned in heaven is, of course, like Tracy was talking about, is a horse. But that doesn't go to say that there's not. So I'm going to believe that your favorite pet's going to heaven. And you'll find out once you get up there. Then you can ask Jesus, where's my pet? Don't even bring it up. Let me give you a word of wisdom. Don't bring it up. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Leah.
There's a verse in Proverbs that I can't find it right now. I thought it was 25, Proverbs 25, but it talks about the soul of the man goes to heaven and the soul of the animal goes to the earth. But I can't find a verse. So
yeah.
If somebody's got a dictionary, they might look that up.
Well, that was kind of like what it said in Ecclesiastes 3, you know, that one goes up, one goes down, basically. But
where's that?
Ecclesiastes 3, I think around the end it was. Another thing that people were mentioning that this is good, what about the millennium rule, you know? Is not the lion going to lay down with the lamb, you know, so... Is that a type and a shadow of heaven? That was brought up. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, David speaks of that. And he spoke of that as Christians together. When they came out of the kingdom of the enemy, then they come into the kingdom of heaven, then that's how they act. They all love one another rather than trying to tear one another up. So, iPad Judy's back. The animals have souls. Hey, we'll have to get into that some other time. Okay, what else? We've got two questions still on the agenda for that parable of the sower. The last two. I believe the one was, let me look here right quick. Yeah, the thorny ground, the thorns. I'll go ahead and recite it. We'll see what happens here. And he sown among the thorns, and he that sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, and the care of the age, and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Okay, that's the thorny ground. What y'all get out of that one? The thorny ground. Well, if somebody gets on fire, that's what I'll just briefly. This is somebody that gets on fire for God and he comes to God, but then the cares of the world, he'd rather have the things of the world. He'd rather feed the flesh and than have the eternal things of the Spirit that bears fruit, at least 36-year, 100-fold. He'd rather have that than go after God. Full heart. You know, there's a lot of Christians that fall into this category. They think they're Christians, but they don't, but they haven't borne any fruit. They are trying to get fire insurance, I think is the way a lot of people put it. David puts it that way. They want fire insurance rather than to run after the Lord. And that's kind of what I'm reminded of in this thorny the thorny seed that's sown. All right. Anybody got something else they want to add to it? Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, in Luke 8 on the parable of the sower, he's talking about the thorny ground. It finishes up with they bring no fruit to perfection, which I would, I guess, equate with maturity. So that they might be producing some fruit, but they're not continuing on and bringing it to a mature fruit that was able to replicate Christ.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Tracy.
Wouldn't those be the backsliders in a nutshell? People that, you know, yeah, came to the Lord and then thought, well, this isn't worth it. You know, this is not what I signed up for, if you will. So that's how I see it. People that the world, you know, chokes them up is right. Like people, I'll give you an example, like a woman coming out of prostitution comes to the Lord and then learns that, you know, she doesn't have what she did. She goes right back to the prostitution. Something like that's how I see it.
Yeah. Yep, that could be one of them.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Debbie.
I think it's something that we see all the time, even in Christians. I know it's probably talking about they're not saved, they fall away. But like in my, we know so many people that they're Christians, but they're living in the world. They're working to earn money, to have things and go on vacations. And even one of my, just who was from growing up, but now that she's married, they just were like, Spirit was choked out by all the things and going after good times, and so now there's just nothing there. Nothing there. She was a believer, but I don't know if she really is now, or I don't really know. And I just, you see that all the time, the thorns quenching the Spirit.
Absolutely. We've got big churches out there full of them. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I just want to know if this verse that you just finished reading has anything to do with this verse here in Matthew 24, where it says, and because the lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. That's the 12th verse. Of 24.
Let me get there right quick.
Because
Matthew 24.
He is speaking about a time here, a future time of backslidden Christians or ones who perhaps lost their focus here.
Okay, yeah, I believe that too. I believe that's part of it. I believe that also it says here.
But who endures?
And because, yeah, go ahead.
But who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I just wanted to throw that one in because I wanted to finish on a good point.
Absolutely, yeah. Because iniquity shall be multiplied. What's iniquity? That's hard times, right? Against Christians. And when that comes, a lot of them are going to fall away. They're going to take the mark. Go ahead, Tim.
It seems like there, in all three books, it's talking about idolatry, things that are more important than the Lord, is getting in the way of people coming to fruition. It's an idolatry, whatever it is, it's getting in their way.
Amen. I believe that too. You know what an idolatry is? It's something that'll take your focus away from the Lord. All right, anybody else? The Thorny Ground. Thorny Ground Christian. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi. I was even thinking about the seven churches and the conditions of the seven churches, and there's a lot of things there that God just he saw what he approved of, and he mentioned what those were, and he saw what he disapproved of in the conditions of the seven churches. And there's a lot there. I didn't want to go off of that, but I guess that was something we could maybe consider, that as well as the thorns and the cares and riches. And I think somebody mentioned it last time too about the lukewarm church. You know, he specifically said that he's lukewarm and that he would spew them out of his mouth. For they say, I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, not knowing that they are wretched, blind, poor, naked. And he counsels them to buy gold refined by fire, that they may be rich, and white garments to clothe them and keep their shame from their nakedness from being seen. Being seen, and salve to anoint their eyes that they may see. So I was just thinking about the, other than the Church of Philadelphia, that all the conditions of the other churches, there's things he spoke of that he was not pleased with. And that to me was just, you know, not running after the Lord with all of your heart, but there's other things that distracted and got in the way. So
yeah,
a lot of trials.
I agree.
A lot of trials.
Yeah. That Church of Sardis is probably pretty close to it. He says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead. Be thou watchful, and establish the things that remain which are ready to die. For I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Remember therefore how thou hast received, and didst hear, and keep it, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. But thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There are people in all of these churches out here probably that some of them are love the Lord and they're walking in the righteousness that they know about. and God accounts them as righteous. But then again, there's a bunch of them in there that ain't even trying. They think they got their ticket punched because the preacher shook her hand and knocked them under the water one. That's the thorny ground. These people don't run after the Lord like the Shulamite bride. That's what we have to do. We have to run after the Lord with the Shulamite bride. There is a YouTube thing. I wish I could remember. Maybe Missy or Leon could help me, or Debbie or Denny. That judgment thing that Robin put up there. Y'all remember the name of that? I can't. It was about a pastor that had died and gone to heaven, and the Lord showed him what his lot was. It's kind of like Howard Pittman, only a little bit different. And only reason that the Lord took him out of hell and put him back on earth is because his son was praying for him. Yeah, Julie.
I just looked up the name of that YouTube video. Is called Day of Judgment, Amazing True Vision.
Yeah, that's it. That actually comes from a book that John Bevere wrote about a pastor that got killed while on vacation with a bunch of other Christians, and they were run over out in the Caribbean by a runaway yacht that they were in, a submarine, some kind of a submarine that was going out to take them under for 90 minutes. And his son watched it happen. And of course, everybody on there was killed. Or most everybody was. But anyway, I think the name of that one is Rescued. It's about a 2-hour long audio book. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't get into it too much. It just takes up too much of my time to listen to that. But anyway, what it does, though, it shows you that preachers are going to hell because of what they're, and it's a special place in hell he has for those that are teaching untruths. What do they call that when they tickle your ears with nobody's going to hell, everybody's going to heaven kind of preaching stuff, kind of like Joel Osteen, you know, that little grin of his. But yeah, Andrew.
I think they call that they eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication.
Yeah.
Because, you know, If you're gonna agape something else other than what the Lord says, then that's going with someone else. The church is supposed to go with the Lord all the time, and not fornicate in other words. You're supposed to agape the Lord's word. And of course, the idol there that's doing that is a person, a place, or a thing. So,
amen. That happens a lot, too. That happens a lot. You got mega churches out there with their eyes fixed on that preacher that's sending them all to hell. Amen. Well, us, some of the thorny people. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was, it's interesting that I was kind of keeping my mouth shut here. And it's interesting that the thoughts that were coming up related to that scripture were exactly what the Lord gave me a couple days ago. And I mean, even the same scriptures, but I think it was a couple days ago. It's actually after I think it was Friday after our last Bible study. And I got up the next morning, and I usually try to dump all the debris and thoughts and garbage that's flying through my mind out on paper, or write it down on my computer and get it out so I can look at it and kind of free up my mind. And that's exactly, free up my mind so I can focus on the Lord for the next hour or so. And that was exactly one of the first thoughts related to that scripture, that parable about the thorns, was to free my mind up to focus on you. And so I started dumping out words. One of them was sanctification. Another one was double-minded. Another one was single eye. I think David, I was listening to a tape or a message on the way into work the other day, and he brought that scripture up, that if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Not that you are commanded to pluck your eye out, but if it is that serious that you have such a focus on something else that is that serious, even if it came to that point where you had to pluck your eye out, it would be better to pluck that eye out than to go to hell, basically. Confess sin one to another. And then the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, of creating a new environment within yourselves. But as I was freeing up my mind and just thinking about that scripture, the verses in Matthew 6 came to my mind. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there thy heart will be also. And it just speaks of that single focused, single eye, focus that we need as people of God, to put our focus and our whole attention upon God. And then the Lord brought me over to that church in Revelation 3:17, because you say I'm rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire. And that's the thing that hit me, was that refined by fire. And I think of the three Hebrew children of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that went into the fire, and their double-mindedness was immediately, or any temptation for double-mindedness was removed in that fire. That thou mayest become rich and white garments, that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness may not be made manifest, and eye salve to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And I think of that verse in Romans 12, I think 5, 12, 5, that I went over a month or so ago. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. And then I started looking at that sanctification, 6:20. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And the next verse says, but if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And I looked at that word for evil there, and I was expecting it to mean double or something like that. Doesn't mean it means evil. You know, I can't remember the exact description, but it means evil. But if you excuse me, if you take it in context with the previous verse, it said, "If thy eye be single," it has the inference that evil has the implication of being double or multiple or something like that. And anytime your vision is double and out of focus, there's confusion and not seeing clearly. And then in verse 24 or 23, it says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So I just thought it was kind of interesting that the general flow of the conversation was around that focus, you know, the parable that we were talking about, the thorns, that those thorns, I'm in a job, employment that my projects are always under constant pressure and our projects are always under unrealistic schedules, so that you are constantly playing back, you're constantly in critical mode all the time. And as I go through that process, I see people around me. There was an example today. I had a man that was a tile contractor, laid floor tile, ceramic tile. And I'm going to assume that these people probably get paid by the square foot, or, you know, the square foot that they put in. So the more they put in, of course, the more money they make. And this guy, of course, we had problems on the job that required that they fix some of the substandard surface of the floor, the concrete floor, before they actually started work. And this guy was just angry and in my face backhandedly blaming me for the conditions and all sorts of things. And I got to thinking about it, that this guy is just awfully, I'm going to say over agitated or angry or whatever. Like he came into the project packing anger with him. And the first thing I thought was that he's probably got bills that have mounted up so much, and he's got this tremendous pressure behind him. And so he comes into my job and everything isn't absolutely perfect, so he can blow this thing out and make a lot of square footage. And so he in his mind is seeing me as this antagonistic dude standing in front of him, stopping him from his goals or whatever it would be. And I just saw him as just being under a load of this pressure, no doubt self-imposed in a lot of it, but just a lot of pressure that he was under, causing him or tempting him to function in anger toward me and everybody around him. And I have to go back and think about that. This is the same condition to a certain degree as what is in the apostate system around us in the world today, is that these, people for the most part in the organized churches are simply taking the company line, and this is what the pastor, this is what our religion believes, this is what our pastor teaches, and this is the way we all think, so this is the way we function, this is how we respond, this is how it is, type of thing. And unfortunately, I think a great majority of those people that are within the context of that environment don't really think for themselves. And I don't know if they've lost the ability to think, or some people don't, but I have to believe in my heart that there are people there that inwardly are crying out to know the reality of God, and of a God that can save them through all of the problems and issues and sin and tragedies of the day, that there is a God that can save them through that, but they have no vision or no seeing of him in that environment. And I believe that we can have hope in the fact that God has preserved many people in that environment for the words that they need to hear for the particular time that he has chosen to pull them out. And I don't know how I got on that, but I just I feel that there are a lot of people caught in the midst of that, that they are totally unaware of what they're in. And when Jesus comes walking down the road and is healing the blind and healing the lepers and raising the dead, I think that tuning fork's going to go off in their heart, and they're going to turn from that apostate way and go to Jesus, to the answer of their problem and their issue. I think they're waiting for that, but as I go back to, I think, where I'm at in the midst of this thorn path, I need to find that way to bring myself into that singleness of mind, of heart and soul, focused on Jesus, even in the midst of this. And I believe God is well able to do that in my life and in our lives, any one of us seeking it. So I guess that would be a prayer request for me, to that the Lord would direct me and show me and give me wisdom to follow him and to seek the Holy Spirit into that quiet and single-minded place. So that's my prayer request.
Amen. Lord, mine too. Let's bring us all into that realm of running out to you, Lord, with all our heart. Nothing else would affect our walk, Lord, but we know that if something comes up, you're going to be the author and finisher of it, so we don't worry about it. And we thank you, Lord, that you are making us with our eyes focused on you, Lord, and only you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hi, Willie. All right. What do you think, Missy?
She left the room.
You've been running away from the camera too much.
I've been checking my blueberry bread and everything. I made blueberry. Oh. Had to take it out and had to let it cool for 10 minutes and then take it out of the pan. So that's what I've been up and down for.
What about the thorny road? You didn't give us your take on the thorny road. Sit back down. Where'd you go? Go ahead, Judith.
Well, I just had a thought that the, and maybe this will spark a little interest too. I don't know what you guys all think, but the thorns represent the curse. So if the seed of the word fell amongst the thorns, it fell amongst those under the curse, which is everybody. But just wonder, maybe people think about that, that the word, the seed fell in the thorns, fell amongst the curse.
Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
There we go. I got this morning. It was in Jeremiah 22:4, but I'm going to read pretty much the whole chapter. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, and I can't remember the exact location of the verse in the New Testament where it talks about the one servant thought his master was delaying in his coming, so he's beating his fellow servants. You know, mistreating his other servants around him. And this kind of reminds me of that, what Jeremiah is saying here. And he's talking to Israel, and he's talking to individuals too at the same time. He says, thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. Say, hear the word of the Lord, king of Judah, who sits on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, execute justice and righteousness and deliver him who is robbed out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the foreigner, the fatherless, nor the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you do this thing indeed, then there shall enter in by the gates of the house, of this house kings sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become desolate. For thus says the Lord, concerning the house of the king of Judah, you are Gilead to me, the head of Lebanon. Surely I will make you a wilderness and the cities which are not inhabited. I will prepare destroyers against you, everyone with his weapons, and they shall cut down your choice cedars and cast them in the fire. Many nations shall pass by the city, and they'll say, every man to his neighbor, why has the Lord done this, this great city? Then they shall answer, because they forsook the covenant of their Lord, their God, and worship other gods and serve them. Don't weep for the dead, nor bemoan him, but weep sore for him who goes away, for he shall return no more, nor see his native country. Then he goes on to say, for thus says the Lord, touching Shallum, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, who reigned instead of Josiah's father, who went forth out of this place, he shall not return there anymore, but in the place where they have led him captive, there shall he die, and he shall see this land no more. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice. He uses his neighbor's service without wages and doesn't give him his hire. Who says, I will build me a wide house and a spacious chambers, and cuts him out windows and its ceiling with cedar and painted with vermilion, yet shall rain because you strive to excel in cedar. You shall reign because you strive to excel in cedar. Didn't your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and the needy. Then it was well. Wasn't this to know me, says the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are not but for your covetousness and for shedding of blood and for oppression and for violence to do it. Therefore, thus the Lord, concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, oh, my brother, ah, oh, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, oh, Lord, ah, oh, his glory. He shall be buried the burial of a donkey, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go to Lebanon and cry. Lift up your voices in Bashan and cry in Abram, for all your lovers are destroyed. I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you didn't obey my voice. The winds shall feed all your shepherds. Your lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then you will be ashamed and confounded for all your wickedness. Inhabitant of Lebanon, who makes your nest in its cedars, how greatly to be pitied you will be when the pangs come upon you, the pain as if a woman in travail. I live, says the Lord. Though Kenaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, were the signet of my right hand, yet would I pluck you there. And I will give you into the hand of those who seek your life, and into the hand of them whom are afraid, even to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of the Chaldeans. I will cast you out and your mother who bore you into another country where you were not born, and there you will die. But to the land whereinto their soul longs to return, there shall they not return. Is this man, Kenaniah, a despised broken vessel? Is he a vessel in which none delights? Why are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into the land which they don't know? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write you this man childless. A man shall not prosper in his days, for no more shall a man of his seed prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling Judah. So I think when we're seeing the thorns, and the man getting caught up in the thorns of life, we're seeing him turn against the covenant God gave him. He's definitely not running after it. We're seeing him in the Old Testament what happens when they despise the covenant and they take advantage of their brothers and they're not looking after the cause of the widowless and they're not doing what we're supposed to do and care for others and have the love in our hearts that we're supposed to be exhibiting as Christians. When we see Christians get caught up in the world and their hearts become cold and righteous and lawlessness and iniquity abound, the Lord's going to cast them out just like he did here. I mean, he's going to only let it go so long and they're going to be reprobated. Is there going to be a way for them to come back? I don't know. I mean, we do know the Lord's going to come back one more time and call his people to his kingdom, but if they're caught up into this wicked system and this wickedness and they're just building house to house and looking to expand their livelihood here on the earth at the expense of others and not caring for the widow and the widows and the orphans and, you know, the people that have needs. I mean, I don't care whether somebody's rich or not, but that just puts you at more of a position where you have to take and look after those that don't have when that need arises and you see it. You're not there to build and keep on building and become kings on this earth for your wealth. And God's blessed you, he's blessed you, but don't let it become a curse. That's the point here. You know, don't let it become your idol, which these people did. They let this become their idol. They walked away from the covenant, and God reprobated them for it.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? On the thorny ground. It's all those people out there that call themselves Christians that aren't walking the walk. It's not those that are going after the Lord. Might fall here, they might fall there, but they're still falling forward, and they get up and they go ahead and repent and keep going forward. That's the one God wants. He don't want those that are sitting back. Go ahead, Andrew.
I wonder if this collates with another parable here. The one here where it says about when he asks them, didn't you sow good seed? And the thorns came up with the good seed, you see. So this is a different word, I believe, that someone was sowing into the, this land here. So I think this different word of these thorns choked the word. And it was a word against a word. Does that sound right?
Yeah, we'll go for it. You're talking about the tares?
Yeah, well, the tares had to come from the seed too, apparently. So it's a word against the word. So what word would be against our Lord? Who is hallowed be thy name. And who's John chapter 1, first four verses there. Anyway.
Well, I was thinking about that a while ago. About that parable of the tares in the wheat. It takes the tares to mature the saints. If you didn't have the tares, the saints couldn't be matured. They have to understand that the tares are there for one thing, is to mature them. That's the Christians that come against, the so-called Christians that come against God's true people. And could be, you know, it could be also the world and whatever. But the tares are the mature, are the unprofitable servants that mature God's people. I believe. That's a good one, too. What do you think, Missy? Well, you wore me out getting up and out of that chair. I tell you what, I broke a sweat a while ago watching you. What do you think about this particular parable?
I'm sorry, I just been too distracted.
Okay.
What parable is this again? The parable of the sower, the thorns and all, what you're talking about?
Yeah. It was that one about the
perfect scenario, distracted with the cares of this life.
speaking of a parable, go ahead.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, Missy, we'll skip right over you, girl. You're too busy. Go ahead, Tim.
This on the surface, it seems like the parables are not quite interconnected. Because of the parable of the tares, they grow up with the wheat and are gathered first and bundled to be burned. And in the parable of the sower, the seed sown in the thorny ground actually does reach maturity. So I think there's two different parables, even though they're kind of the same illustration.
Yep. I'll tell you something else, Tim, on that parable of the tares. Which one went out of here first?
The tares are gathered first.
That's right. That's right. The fruit didn't leave out of here first, did it? I just thought I'd bring it up. That's something that I've seen. And not that it has anything to do with that, but I just thought that was pretty significant. Anyway, all right, anybody else? What do you think, Leon? You ain't thinking? Okay. Yeah, Missy.
You know, talking about the thorns and everything, I've been catching bits and pieces of it. And, you know, thorns, you know, Paul said about the thorn in his flesh, you know. And in the Old Testament, you know, thorns lots of times are people, you know, people buffeting you, persecuting you, so on and so forth. But even, you know, those thorns are the fleshly things of the world that distract us, keep us from the Lord, keep us from reading the word, keep us from praying. And, you know, all these are things that are very important, keeps us from our relationship with the Lord. And that's what keeps us from bearing fruit. You know, we need the, you know, the prayers, the time with the Lord, reading the word, you know, so our mind's renewed. And, you know, without that, we're not going to bear fruit. And it's the thorns, the fleshly things, you know, the things of the flesh that, you know, we're supposed to be about the things of the Spirit and the things of God. So, okay, that's very happy. Well, hi.
Yeah, well, yeah, you, because you did bring out something there that is significant, and that is the distraction from your prayer time. How many times have you been distracted from your prayer time or your Bible reading time or your study time from things of the world, telephone call, whatever, you know? And then we allow that to happen because, hey, look, this is excitement coming here. I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's got to be better than what I'm doing now. Now, I'm just telling you from the heart. That's the way it hits us sometimes. Go ahead, Sue.
I was sitting here listening and was thinking about, you know, we're not to be worried about anything. And I was thinking about Martha and how the Lord has spoken to her. Martha, you worry about too many things. And, you know, Mary was sitting at his feet. And, you know, Martha had a bad, she had a bad attitude. Why isn't Mary helping me? You know, she had this kind of attitude. Why am I doing this? You know, and you know, just the attitude of the heart can make us, you know, fall away, you know. And if we get too busy with those things, then we're being like a Martha, and Martha's worried about all this and all that, you know, cares of this world.
Yeah, Martha didn't understand that Mary was there ministering to the Lord.
Yeah, so
that's,
I think,
yeah,
that's kind of like the thorns, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Good pointing that out. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Willie.
It reminds me of just what the children of Israel was going through while passing through the wilderness. I think that's why Christ brought up those parables. He says, this was you guys in the wilderness, and he told a parable, you know, before you came here into the promised land. You know, some of you have stony hearts, some of you have thorny hearts, some of you have wayside hearts, and some of you heard the word, you know. And it was given good ground, and it brought forth fruit abundantly. And you were partaker of all the goodness and fatness of the land, and you know, concerning the promise that you were brought into. I really think that's why he brought up that parable, to show them why so many died in the wilderness, and, you know, and who made it, who was it that made it into this land, you know. And I just find that interesting. I know we're just talking about the thorny hearts, and that's just something that came to my thought. I think it's a wonderful thing when you really get to see, you know, why so many perished in Israel, you know, on the way out of Egypt, you know, into the promised land. And, you know, Christ broke it down and said, you know, there are four types of hearts, you know. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, you get to look at yourself, examine yourself. You know, are you? I don't think a person is always a one type of heart person. I think a person can have a thorny heart and a stony heart. You know, I think a person can have a wayside heart, you know, and a thorny heart, you know. And so the four things are not meant, you know, as just one specific class, but, you know, to to say to you, you know, you got thorns and you got stones, and, you know, this is your heart. Examine. You have stones, you have thorns, you know. But that's all I got to say. I just thought, you know, because he's talking to Israel. He was talking to Israel, you know, as he was speaking this, you know. But yeah, I'm done.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I believe people can have multiple problems in the parable of the sower. Sometimes I can look back at myself and see the things that we've allowed to come into our life to take away from what God's wants to do in us. Too often, you know, I've done that. Just being real here, you know, I don't want it to happen, but sometimes it sneaks up on you without you even realizing it, that you're busy. Why are you busy? Your job is to seek after the Lord. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, George.
Leading family. When she was talking, Julie, I believe, was talking earlier about the seed falling among the thorns, throwing back to the original curse there, and made me think about working by the sweat of our brow that came with that. And we talk about making a living and all that, and it's kind of like the framework of the world that just gets imposed on us. And breaking out of that by the renewing of our minds, we're supposed to work so that we have to give into every good work and live by the faith of God, you know, to have food, shelter, and clothing, and therewith to be content. We're, you know, the blessings are supposed to be chasing us down, and we're to be reaping what another sowed. There's just so many other things that the believer can live on a level. Obviously, we can do all things through Christ. We can be abased or we can be overflowing. But and maybe, I don't know, maybe the language there is a little over my head. But in 2 Corinthians 9, talking about ministering to the saints, especially verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in everything. I mean, that's kind of like taking the hammer of blessing and just saying, how many ways do I need to tell you? I'm making all grace, all sufficiency, everything unto every good work. You know, then it talks about him multiplying seed to the sower. I think the Bible in this parable we're talking about, it talks about holding fast the word that we've heard, you know, that confession, holding it. That word fast reminds me of where the Bible talks about the quick and the dead. That quick is living, that's alive, that's living faith, that's how we're holding it. And enduring and our patience, you know, that's the last word on this. The only one that was successful was the one that brought forth fruit with patience. And I was looking up James, where verse 2 says, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. So a lot of this is just helping me get out of a rut. You know, I've got a big family and everybody's got responsibilities, but I believe God wants us to come into this new anointing, this new time on earth of former and latter rain, to be lenders and not borrowers, to really be blessed. And when we can minister to the saints, you know, we can trust one another and receive one another and submit to one another, so that there will be equality. And I look forward to those times, and I hope that I'm obedient. And I love you guys, and that's all I got to say.
You're muted, Michael. But I'll say amen to that.
My picture froze up. I couldn't turn it on. It wouldn't let me turn it on. In the name of Jesus, I cast that demon out of that iMac in Jesus' name. You come out of there and leave my computer alone. Bless God. I'm going to have that mess. Not with all my brothers and sisters here. Ain't going to happen now, another time. I'll speak it and decree it in Jesus' name. All right.
Michael?
Hey, go ahead, Deborah.
You're casting out demons? I went to the store a few minutes ago, and so I know I just thought I'd share this now, but there was a woman in there just walking through with a walker and wincing and calling out in pain, but yet a smile on her face, but she was hurting so bad. And I went past her and went and got what I needed to get and walked back to her and asked if I could pray for her. And she's like, please do. And so her name is Janine. I told her I was coming back to this call. We'd be praying for her tonight. And she started binding and rebuking. So she's a believer, but she's in such pain. She got these problems wrong with her. It's a heart and sciatic and just all kinds of problems. They almost renal disease. She almost had kidney failure. And so they almost lost her in the hospital a couple weeks ago. So I want to pray for Janine.
Okay, let's pray for her right now. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of infirmity off of her. We command it to go. And all of the spirits of infirmity go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that Janine, the grocery store Janine, is completely healed. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you this. If there's some unforgiveness in her heart, Lord, I ask that you show it to her so she could confess it, repent of it, and be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that spirit of infirmity has gone from her. We command the pain to go and all the symptoms of it to go in the name of Jesus. We command every demon associated with it to go out with it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that she's healed and she's going to give the glory to you, Father, because the doctors couldn't do nothing with it. We thank you, Lord, that she is healed in Jesus' name. And that smile is going to be a smile of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ upon her life. And she's going to have people coming up and asking her, what is that light around about you? She's going to be able to evangelize from where she's at and tell them her testimony, how God healed her. And Lord, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Janine, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Boy, you meet some of the best people in the store. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I believe that's what Deborah said the Lord told her the other night for the conference call. If you believe, or something like that. What was it? If you believe or do you believe?
Do you believe?
Do you believe? Okay. Praise the Lord. Yep, I believe. That's the great thing about being with a bunch of other believers, is it's not hard to believe, is it? No, it's real. And y'all are believers. So that's what I'm talking about. Okay. The thorny ground. Anybody else on the thorny ground? Well, last one. And he's sown upon the good ground. This is he who hears the word and understands it, who barely bears fruit and brings forth the one 100-fold, the 160, the 130. Who is that God's talking about? Is that not the one that the Lord has chosen from the foundation of the earth to walk and talk the things of Jesus at some point in his life? That he's been working with him since birth, since before his birth, to bring those people into the realm of his fruit bearing. That's the one who walks like Jesus. That's the one that talks like Jesus. That's the one that works like Jesus. That's the one that's every one of y'all. That's every one of y'all. That's the one who endures in his faith to the end. That's the one who keeps the Lord's commandments. That's the one who loves. And that's the one who loves even his enemies. Praise God. All right. Anybody else on the one who bears fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold? Come on now. Y'all can talk about the bad ones. Let's talk about the good ones for a while. Go ahead, George.
Think of Mark 4:28 in that where it says the earth beareth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And if we're in a trial and we get the word on it and we're letting it have its way and patience is working, but we jump ship before we get that full corn in the ear, then we don't have, we haven't perfected fruit, we haven't endured the trial, and I think that's what the enemy is battling. I know this is a many-faceted parable as far as how evangelism, the hearts and the hearing of people, but also our own trials, overcoming is by the word of our testimony and the finished work at blood of the Lamb, and not listening to every other voice and not letting anything beat us off of that narrow path. I guess that's the way to success. I guess I don't have much more of a revelation on it. I'm just reminded of that verse.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Joe. Or were you just waving at something?
I was just lounging, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Wade.
Yeah, I was just a little to add. The ones who fit that bill are overcomers. They're overcoming something.
And amen.
In Christ. They're drawn closer to Christ by overcoming that which is in the way. And that's all I had to say.
Okay, that's the flesh in the world, isn't it? And mostly the flesh.
The flesh, the world, and the devil.
Amen. All right. That's right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Pat.
Is that
30, 60, and 100 fold, does that correlate with the sun, moon, star, glory aspects? Is that the same thing?
I believe it does.
That was the only thing that, actually, when I was reading that verse, it was the only that's kind of what popped in my mind. And then, so I went over to read it, and it's interesting that we're talking about in verse 29, it's in 1 Corinthians 15:39, it says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts and another flesh of birds and another of fishes, which kind of correlates with what we were talking about, the animals going to heaven type thing. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. I didn't look up those words, but I always thought they both meant the same thing, but maybe obviously not.
Well, celestial means heavenlies. Terrestrial means earthly.
Okay. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So anyway, that was just the verses that popped into my mind. I have to think about that one for a while. I don't really have a comment on it. I was just...
Yeah. So. Well, that's a good parable right there. Something we can go over later on, maybe. Because the star glory and the moon glory and the sun glory all represents the Christian. Star glory, of course, being the 30-fold. That's the ones that are out there by self, you know, they're out there individually, by self. And the moon glory is the ones that are allowing the light of the sun to shine on. And of course, the sun glory is the moon glory is the 60-fold. And then the sun is, of course, the mature Christian. It's mature in every way. And we can go over that at some point in time. There's a lot there, too. All right, anybody else? Joe, are you raising your hand or are you just waving at somebody?
I am now officially raising my hand.
All right.
That is a raised hand, yes.
All right.
What just came to mind when Pat was talking about it, you know, the star and the moon and the sun glory, what is the significance? Because I can understand 100-fold. That's total completion. What about the 30 and 60? What are the significance of those numbers? You know, that just kind of dawned on me. Why 30 and 60? Why not, I guess you could think it's like, I mean, it's counting by 30s there. I would figure 90% would be the last one, but I'm like, that's not total completion. So does anyone know the significance of 30 and 60? Why those numbers? Why not any other numbers?
Well, why don't we do that the next time? Because that can get into some stuff. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Tim might have a quick answer here.
All right, here we go.
Need a real quick answer, but I grew up in dry land wheat country. If you had a sketchy crop, you know, your heads weren't very big, and there wasn't a lot of grain on them. You had a mediocre crop, you had decent-sized heads, but it wasn't, you know, going to make it. In a good year, you know, the stalks of wheat were like this, and there was a lot of kernels on them. So I think if I find the numbers, like 3,600, meaning that a decent crop, a good crop, or a great crop. That's where I would go with that.
Yep, I can see that. Okay.
So, Tim, what caused the great crop as opposed to the bad crop?
Probably the good soil and the good moisture and the good growing conditions all combined on a, you know, perfect, everything just right in a given season. Which would fit into the parable as well.
Amen. That's right. If you have ideal conditions, and the ideal conditions is what you make it most of the time, you can if you have a field that doesn't have a source of water, you could have a 30-fold field because you're not irrigating and watering that thing like it should be. And then if you have a field that you can water, and I'm talking beans or anything like corn, whatever, then you have more of a chance when you're watering that crop. You're giving it the water that it needs. You're washing the plant with the water that it needs. And so there's a parable in that. So, yeah. But, you know, I've always said this. Why chance the 30-fold? How do you know you're not at 29 3/4 and you miss the boat? You know, just go whole hog. If you listen, here's the thing about this walk that we're on. If you're doing everything you know to do and running after Christ, you're in. Praying. Did you raise your hand, or I just didn't lower your hand, Tim?
Well, I raised it right after that.
Okay, go ahead.
Coming through all three Gospels, and the thing they have in common about the hundredfold fruit or the maturity or everything is in Matthew, it's having heard the word, hold it fast. Or I guess that's Luke. Matthew, it's he that hath ears, let him hear. In Mark, it's hear the word and accept it. And in Luke, it's having heard the word, hold it fast. So that if you hear the word, you take it into your heart, and you don't let it go, and that leads to the hundredfold fruit.
Go ahead, Denny.
I've always thought of it as the you got the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You have Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. You know, the Passover experience would be those who are born again, but then some go on to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That would be the 60-fold. But then there's a further experience of coming to that maturity, which would be the Feast of Tabernacles. Or it's also likened to be in the outer court or the holy place or the Holy of Holies. You got the three levels. I mean, God's got tons of those three level things. The baptism in the Red Sea, the baptism in the cloud, the baptism across the Jordan that takes you into the Promised Land. There's a lot of threes that speak about the 30, 60, or 100.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Well, we can talk about this. What is today? Thursday. We can do that Thursday. Amen. We can talk about the 36 and 100 fold Thursday, which would be a good subject, because like Denny was pointing out, you can go many places with this if you like. So let's study up on that and see what we can come up with. All right. What about the good servant? The good ground. Anybody else on the good ground? Yeah, Sue. Sue G, come on up.
All right. All I was thinking about was Mary with, you know, the situation with Martha and Mary, the comparison. Mary was at Jesus' feet. She was worshiping him. She didn't focus on anything else but on him. And the Lord was pleased with that. I was trying to find out scripture, but I didn't get a chance to. But anyway, that's the good ground, to be always at his feet, always looking to him, not in looking at anything else.
Amen. That's good. Okay, Wayne, go ahead, brother.
I just want to say that the good ground is prepared. It's prepared by the one who's receiving. It's prepared. It's tilled. Okay. So everything is done, you know, at the right time, doing the right thing.
Amen. Who prepares that ground?
Jesus through us.
Okay. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
In Luke 8, it talks, he gives the interpretation of the good soil that says that they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit with patience. I was just thinking that formation of our heart, the purifying of our heart, that we come into, it's wanting to be cleansed, it's wanting to be purified and to be right with God. And it says honest and good heart. And Jesus said, nobody is good but God. So I just believe that's just coming into his, all of his goodness, all of his nature and his character. And, you know, we're supposed to see the end in view, which is, you know, the perfection of what the Lord has fully given us. We're supposed to receive it and accept it right up front. So I was just thinking how, you know, it's maturing into the fullness of who Christ is.
Amen. Amen. It's believing that God is doing it in you. It's believing. It's faith. It's faith coupled with trust. Okay, well, we're just about out of time here. I was thinking about this 36 and 100 from Thursday night. Just take a look at that parable, 36 and 100 fold, and the other parables that go along with it to help explain what it is. And let's see what we can come up with Thursday night. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for another good time with you and your word. We love to be in your word and to talk about your word because we always learn something, Lord. Always learn something out of your word. And I praise you for it, Father. I ask, Lord, that you put this word in our heart. Put it in our hearts to only use every available time that we can to get in the word and to understand the word. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that just like the Shulamite bride, you place it in our heart to want to run after you with all our heart. And Father, we thank you for that as well. Lord, we thank you that Miss Janine is healed, delivered, and set free. And she's telling the world about your goodness toward her, Lord. And we praise you for that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done, all the things that you've told us, all the things that have transpired here in the last little bit that you've answered for us, Lord. Praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for your words that have come forth. And we just thank you, Lord, that we are running after you with our whole heart. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that you protect everybody while they're away from us. And to come back together again Thursday night and be in great expectation of what you're going to do with us, Lord. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to have good supernatural rest when we sleep. Makes no difference how many hours it is. When we wake up, we're going to be ready to go. And Father, I thank you for all of that too. And Lord, I just thank you for bringing down the deep state. I thank you, Lord, for freeing up the news media, for the conservatives, Lord. They're trying to shut down free speech in this in America. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to shut them, that it's going to backfire in their face, and that it's you're going to shut them down, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that I know that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it, Father. And I just believe, and I know these good people here do too, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all the prayers you've answered in the past and in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Good night, y'all.
Amen.
All right. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Night, y'all. Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.